Okay, we're now discussing again what happened on Tuba'av, the Tuba'av Mahi. What happened to Tuba'av that we're celebrating and commemorating? Why did it make the club in one of the happiest days of the year? It was a day when the Shvatim were once again allowed to marry within each other. Now, what does that mean? It refers to the story we have with Bnei Slachan, who were not supposed to marry outside their tribe because when they were given land, we know the land usually stays in the father's family. And if they were married to someone else, to another man, another tribe, the land would have transferred to that tribe's territory. And therefore, they wanted to make sure the women stayed in the tribe. Again, was it a chiyuv or was it a recommendation? Either way, it was dissuaded. They were dissuaded from doing so. And then eventually, on Tu B'Av, they were given permission once again to marry into each other's tribes. My darsh, where did we find that this was a limited suggestion? It was limited din. It wasn't like forever. It says in the pasuk, "Zeh davar shi tivah Hashem levnos falcha." This is the matter. This is usually a mute. I mean, this is limiting. This dafka, this was commanded to no slachan. This thing was only knowing, only a custom in this generation. So no slachan, that's a unique scenario when they were the only survivors of their father. There were no boys, only girls. The inheritance of the land went to them, but it would have been at risk had they married outside their tribe. It would have gone to another tribe. So therefore, davar zeh, this thing is only applicable now, but later on will be allowed. And Tuba'av was the day when they took away this restriction, and you can marry within the tribes together. Amar of Yosef, Amar of Nachman, Yom Shukar Shevet Bin Yamin Lubakal. This is the day when Shevet Bin Yamin was allowed to remarry into the Kali Shela. My daughter Atara and I are learning this right now together. Atara, I'm talking about you. We're together right now. We're learning this topic called Pilegesh Begiva, starting with the tribe of Bin Yamin, who did a terrible action and they killed, murdered. In a terrible fashion, a Pilegesh. And the story goes that there became basically a civil war. And this war resulted in the tribes of Israel rejecting the tribe of Binyamin and not marrying within that one tribe. They wouldn't let them marry each other. And that was eventually taken away on Tu B'Av. As it says, V'ish Yisrael Nishbab mitzpeh lemor ish men lo yitein bitol Binyamin liisha. The other tribes, they swore at a place called Mitzpeh that none of them would give their daughters to marry to Binyamin. My darush, what do they see fit then to allow, take away that decree? Amrav mimenu, because the pasuk mimenu says from us, lo benenu, not from our children. There's a one generational decree punishment to Binyamin. Eventually, they retracted it, and again, it happened on Tu B'Av. Another Gemara, Rabbi Baruch Hanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shekal B'Mesei Midbar. This was the day when the people stopped dying in the Midbar. The Amar Mar, because it was stated, Master stated, Ad Shlo Kal B'Mesei Midbar, Oya Dibor Emotion. Until the people stopped dying in the Midbar, Hashem did not speak to Moshe in an intimate fashion. Shnei Mar, Dikasher Tamu Kol Anshei Milchama Lamus, Vadaber Hashem Eli Haya Dibor. That when everyone stopped dying, Hashem spoke to Moshe, Eli. Hashem spoke to me again, Eli Adibor. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is celebrating the speaking once again to Moshe Rabbeinu, from Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi here points out that this happened on Tu B'Av. How do we know? He tells us the famous Medrash. The Medrash tells us, this is long Rashi, Shekal Masei Midbar, that after the story of the Meraglim, every Tisha B'Av, they cry for no reason. We give them reason to cry. They would each, the men would dig their own graves, and they would go lie down in the grave. They would say goodbye to their wife and children. Here you go. They said after their children, and they would lie there for the night. The next morning, it would say, you know, let the chaim come up, and the mason stay where they are. And people would get up, and whoever was dead was in their own grave already. Whoever was going to live was going to move on. And this happened for 39 years. In the 40th year, they did the same thing again. And the last year in the Midbar, and everyone got up, and they realized, they thought maybe we made a mistake in the calendar. Lie back down again, until finally you look up, lying in the grave at night, looking up at the sky, they see the full moon. Tu B'Av, it's a full moon, right in the middle of the month. They said, oh, must be the decree is over. They got up and they celebrated. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu was spoken to by Hashem again in a more intimate fashion, and that happened on Tu B'Av. Ula Amar, Ula said another thing happened to Tu B'Av. Yom Shabita Hoshea ben Allah, Prus Dios Shoshiv Yeravim ben Avat, Allah Drachim, Shailu Yisrael Laregel. We mentioned this earlier on that Yeravim ben Nevat was someone who had given over. He made a decree. We had before the people, the fig cutters, right? The fig cutters in the and the pestle stealers. We mentioned that they were trying to sneak away. That Yeravam ben Nevat had placed guards that no one should go to Yerushalayim. He was trying to diminish the power of the kingdom of Yerushalayim. He was the king of the other tribes, of the other 10 tribes, and he wanted to limit the power of the Yerushalayim kingdom. So he forbade anyone to go to Yerushalayim. He put up guards that no one should go. So Rav Ben Avad did that, but Hoshea ben Allah, so he removed them. He removed them. But Amar, and he said, Tav Lam Aleph and Aleph, Le'ezah Shehir to Yalu, wherever you want, you can go wherever, you can serve where you want to serve. Now, Raja was out of here. This king was not a good king. He was also a Russia. He wasn't as bad a Russia. He was also a Russia. He didn't say serve God. He said serve wherever you want. You want to serve your God, serve your God. You want to serve idols, serve idols. Whatever you want to do, I don't care. But I'm going to open up opportunities for you. So again, that was a very happy day for the Jewish people to go back to the base of Mikdash and do Aliyah the Regel. But this Hoshea was not a tzaddik, says Rashi. He was still a Russia. Okay, Rav Masna Amar Yom Shenasnu Aruge Beitar Legvura. It was a day that Aruge Beitar. People of Beitar who stood up and fought and they were killed, they were given a chance to be buried. And it was a long time. It was months and months before they were killed to when they were buried. But Amar Rav Masna Amar says also Yom Shenasnu Aruge Beitar Legvura, the day they were able to be buried, Tiknu B'Avna Tova Metiv, the bracha, the last bracha of Benshin, of Ayichasreinu, that bracha was established in Yavna when they were buried. Why? Hatov Shlo Yisrichu, the good that Hashem did was that he did not, their bodies did not rot. Even though it was a miracle, because it was a long, long time from when they were killed to when they were buried. But Metiv, and the extra good that he let them, Shazdekvur, he finally allowed them to be buried with a proper burial. So that also happened on Tu B'Av. And one more thing that we're going to say happened now, Tu B'Av, Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amri Tarvada, they both stated, Yom Shepasku Melichros Eitzim Lemaracha. It was a day when you could stop cutting wood for the Mizbeach collection they would use over the course of the year to burn the wood for all different korbanos and for constant fire. The day that they finished the cutting, the mitzvah was finished on Tu B'Av. And therefore, they celebrated it as they completed their mitzvah of wood cutting for that year's worth. Now, why was it then? So, time when Abraiser, Belazar, Agad, Omer, Michamisha, Sarba Av, the Eilech, Tashash Kocha Shalchama. That from the 15th of Av and onwards, the sun is getting weaker. The heat of the summer already has passed. Well, hey, of course, in the 8th of the Maracha, they would not cut the wood anymore for the Mizbeach, because it wouldn't get as dry as it would beforehand. So since they were becoming less dry, become a little more moist, and they're worried there might be worms in there, says Rashi, there might be some tolas, some worms, and that worm would be, if there's worms in a piece of wood, it would be possible from being used to the Mizbeach, and therefore they wanted to make sure that it was of the proper heat to keep it from having worms inside of it if it was too moist. Amar of Menasha, V'kari le yom tavar magal, they call this day the day of the breaking tavar, the break, like shover, the breaking of the sickle or of the axe. Magal is according to Rashi, a garzan. It's the axe. The breaking of the axe, the breaking of the sickle, which they would use to break the trees down. Now they're not breaking the trees down that year. It's finished. So it's the day of the Tavar Magal. Mikan ve'elech, from this point forward, the Mosif Yosef, from this point of the 15th of Av and onwards, if you learn more, says Rashi, since the night is going to be getting, the night starts to get longer. There's more nighttime, I should say. So if you add on and you learn extra now, Yosef, then you will be able to also get extra reward or extra length of your life. With Lomos, if you do not learn longer, then Yasif, you will be gathered in. What does it mean? What does it mean gathered in? Tanar Yosef, or sorry, Mayas, what does it mean you'll be gathered in? Amar Rav Yosef, Tikberei Imei, means your mother will bury you. Which means, according to Rashi, that means that your lifespan will be cut short. If you don't spend the right at the time now that you have more free time on your hands and figure out ways to learn more Torah, then your life, if you're not going to spend your life doing what Hashem wants, and Hashem's not going to let you do what you want in your life either, it's going to cut short your life. Renan, what do you got?
Can you just repeat the line, Amar Av Mashmiya Bekar Leyom Tavar Maga?
Yeah, they called the 15th of Av because the day they stopped cutting wood, they called it the day of the Tavar Magel. Tavar means to break, like shover. And Magel is like a garden, it's an axe. The day of the breaking of the axe. It's the day when they stopped using this utensil for this project because they no longer cut wood, because it was now not the season for it anymore for the Mizbeach. We mentioned that the those who shulchan used to dance. Rabbi? Joe asked me a question. Yeah, sorry, question? Someone's question?
Yeah. Shouldn't it be sad if the sun's weakened on that day? I feel like it's a bad thing.
Well, it's a seasonal. It's seasonal, but they're happy that they completed that year's job. Like when you do the whole job to its end, they were happy they did a good job. They completed it. We're now going to get to a part of the Gemara.
One thing.
Yeah.
Is there any chachma behind the fact that like we have hamilchasim av ma'ati besimcha, and then like that's going from like the first to like the ninth and to Tisha B'Av. And then we have like 6 days, and then like it's one of the happiest days of the year. Is there any like chachma behind that?
Interesting. Let's know what you think. Let's hear about it. Maybe say it over at your scene you make for your camp over there. You'll talk about it a little bit.
That's what I was trying to get. I'm trying to find something. So I need some
help. But maybe we'll talk about it later. I'll tell you there are examples like this. We have examples where Yehuda, you know, when he sinned with Tamar, led to Mashiach being born. You know, you have a lot of times when you have a difficult, a low point. You know, when Yosef was sold as a slave to Mitzrayim, that became this future goal, the salvation for the Jewish people to go there. Meaning you have moments in time, sometimes the darkest moments is when the most light will be shed right afterwards. So there are times when you appreciate more when you have go through a difficult time. But it's an excellent question. Aaron, what do you got?
Two things. One for Gabe, like it's a geeky thing, like the classic, like a chassidisha yisod of like you have to go down to come up. Maybe that's one thing. And second, is this thing we just learned now? Is that like saying that the Iker time to really learn is in the daytime and not at night? Really?
Well, back then for sure. Back then they didn't have electricity, so you know the daytime was at nighttime. People, I know it's crazy to think that people went to sleep at nighttime. Now nighttime's like you're just like you know you're getting your second wind, you're getting your first wind. Maybe some of you. Not you, some people, not you, I'll show. But, you know, nighttime back then was like really downtime. That was that's why they had it for the Halacha by Hanukkah. Candles be lit when people are walking back from the Shukkahs. Once that happens, that's when they're out. They're not out afterwards so much. Okay. Shabbaham Bosh, anyways, Joe mentioned to me a few days ago, he mentioned to me this whole dancing in the women dancing. What happened to Tznius? Where did Tznius, disappear to? It's an excellent question. Maybe he gave me that in camp. Use that speech in camp, Gabe. The speech about sneeze for ladies. Anyway,
I'm in love.
Very applicable. Very applicable.
I'm in love.
Okay. So I said Gabe. I didn't say Daniel. Don't get so defensive. But anyway,
saying it's even more kedai here, Joe.
Go for it. Say it out. Again, Joe's got a good question. I don't have an answer right now, but it's an excellent question. Let's see this Gemara inside right now. The Gemara says the following: Shabbat Benotu Shalim. Says the Gemara, Tanur Banan, Bas Mela, Shal Elos, Bas Kohen. Again, mentioned every lady should ask for someone else's clothing to borrow because some people might not have. So who should ask for who? So Bas Mela, Shal Elos, Bas Kohen Gadol. Bas Mela should go to one under her, the daughter of the Kohen Gadol. Bas Kohen Gadol, Bas Kan. Should go to the one under her, the woman who's like the understudy. Bas Kan is the understudy's daughter. Skan Kohen is the understudy who takes over the Kohen Gadol if he gets Tumba. During Yom Kippur. So the ladies over here are all going to have. These ladies are all going to have because they're well-to-do. They're prominent families. Later on, it gets less prominent. These are women are pretty prominent. Ubaskan, Ubas Meshuf Milchama, the woman who's the daughter of the Skan, we mentioned before in Sota, though coming full circle. Meshuf Milchama was the one whose job was to rile the troops up. And during the time of war, he riled them up. He was the one who was appointed to be the Kohen in war, to rile everyone up. Ubas Meshuch Milchama, the daughter of that person, that Kohen, Ubas Kohen Hedjot, would borrow from a Kohen Hedjot. And then Kol Yisrael, Misholim, Zemizeh, and every other lady would borrow from each other. No one should be embarrassed, they don't have. And if someone asks them and says, can I borrow from you? And you'd be like, well, you know, I let mine out already. Or you may say something else that would kind of protect you from the busha that you might feel. Or people wouldn't go to you if you were very poor, they wouldn't go to you. They probably would avoid going to you. But then everyone would have, and no one would know where you got it from, and everything would be fine. Mishnah said on that once you borrow someone else, you don't know what they're like. You don't know what level of chumras they keep. So call a kalim, tune in to be like every kalim, every garment borrowed has to be washed now, has to be taken the mikvah to be purified before you wear it. Amar Belazar, afilu mikupalin umnachin bekufsa. Even if these were folded up and put into your drawer, they're in your closet. They were waiting for someone to you know, just they've been in the closet for who knows how long. I mean, they weren't worn recently. There was no need attached to it. Nevertheless, you still had to take mikvah. There was no exception to the rule. Everyone had to bring it to the mikvah.
Where did this custom go?
Yeah, question?
Yeah. So everyone, even if you had it, you had to borrow.
If you had it, what?
Even if you had one, you had to borrow.
Yes,
like that was the thing.
Had to borrow, you had it. Had to borrow, you had it. Correct. Exactly. Okay. We're in the last few lines.
Maybe where did this custom go? Is it going to come back?
Gabe?
Is this custom going to come back? Is this custom going to come back during the Beis HaMikdash? During Beis HaMikdash?
The Tu B'Av custom? Are you rooting for it? Are you hoping for it, Gabe?
Yeah, it sounds like a good time.
Okay. I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out soon. The next few days we'll find out hopefully very soon. It's Hashem. Says the Gemara.
Man.
Yisrael, the cholos bekramim, they would dance in the vineyards. Tanamisha ain lo isha nifnei lisham, a man who was still single, so he would go there and he would try to find his basher. And what would they say? Miuchasu shabehen hayu omros bachur, etc. We're now describes what each of the ladies would say. Tan rabbanan yififiyos shabehen, the pretty ones, the beautiful ones. Mayu omros, what they say? Tuenechem liofi, look how beautiful I am. Shene isha liofi, because a woman is really, she's, you know, the more beautiful she is, the more husband will love her. And therefore, you should pick me. Miuchasu shabehen, the ones who are miuchas, the ones who have great, great family. They come from great stock. Mahin Omros, what would they say when they were trying to get attention? You should look at where I come from, my family. After all, a lady, with the children she produces, what she'll be known for well was her family, is her future children, and she comes from great stock. That's something you should take a lot of excitement about. What would you do with the ladies who weren't so pretty? And they didn't know, they had no yichas. They were a little bit nebuch in those areas. What would they say? What happened to picking a wife for the sake of heaven? But you can also make me look prettier later on. You can give me nice jewelry. So you should do things Shem Shemayim. Pick the right wife for Shem Shemayim. And now the Gemara ends off with the final line also became later on a song, Mordechai Ben David's song. I have my boys right beside me, as we had last time, to sing us to our siyum. But first, we'll do the last lines together, and then we'll go through our siyum afterwards. Amar Ula B'yira, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Also, because Baruch Hu lasos machal of tzadikim, B'yushay B'ganam B'gan Eden. That because Baruch Hu, in the future, will make a dance for the tzadikim, and he will sit among them in Gan Eden, in a circle. He's going to be in the middle of the circle, and they're all going to be surrounding because Baruch Hu. V'chol achav yechad marabetz bo. Each one of them points with his finger. Shenemar, as it says, Amar B'yom Ahu, which means on this day that they will say, here they're pointing, this is my God. We waited for him and he saved us. Is Hashem who we waited for, we will rejoice and be full of simcha in his salvation. And we together hajalach b'shol shafrakim usliq Allah Sechas Tanis. What's our first one we have? First one we have. It's okay. Toiras Hashem temimah, toiras Hashem temimah, ay toiras Hashem temim, veshivas noafesh. Toiras Hashem temimah, ay toiras Hashem temimah, ay toiras Hashem temim, veshivas noafesh. Ayay, dos Hashem. Well, boys, I have now a song. The last few lines is a song I asked my son to
read it. It's over.
Sing it for us.
Rabbi, because we get this siyum, I assume we're coming to your house for the first out Shabbos of the year, correct?
Boys, kol kavod, kol kavod.
Rabbi.
Yes.
I assume it's because of this team and the Sota one on the